Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using the promo code WBZMass and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
B-Pod Studios.
Sometimes you don't have 4 hours, and that's
okay.
Now 98.5 The Sports Hub gives you Solak and Bertrand in a nutshell.
It's the condensed, melted down, jam-packed version of The Daily Show.
Each day you can listen to Solak and Bertrand in a nutshell on the podcast page of 98.5thesportshub.com and on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. While you're there, check out all the other original podcasts available from Boston's Home for Sports. Our podcasts are also available at bpodstudios.com and in Apple Podcasts and Google Podcasts.
To me, as we get going here on this Monday, it's Hardy and Ted Johnson in for Zolak and Bertrand. Michael Bryan, or they're taking care of headlines for us today, right? You're here all day?
I'm here with you all shift.
Double-checking all schedules from here on out.
He was here early. He's ready to go.
I can't even say anything about it because everyone's just going to say, why didn't you read the schedule? I don't know, because I was told one thing. I didn't think I had to read it.
Yeah. Well, no, Mike wasn't on the schedule. Sean Silver was on the schedule, so Mike came in today.
Okay. So, you know, it's not just me.
You'll be okay, bud. We'll get through this.
I love working with Fred. I'm going to do the morning show tomorrow with Fred. I just found out. I found out 10 minutes ago.
Yeah. You're going to have 5 hours of downtime that you got to figure out what you're going to do with yourself.
Shut.
I'm just saying.
You and I could go play golf right now.
Yeah, I know. I'm ready.
We're both ready.
I'm ready to go, buddy. We got to go play some golf soon, please.
I would like that. That would be fun.
Well, I mean, you know,
maybe we'll do it tomorrow.
You have a golf membership. You know.
All right.
You know, so.
So as we get rolling here, and last night was crazy. That was fun. The NBA free agency, this lives up to the hype. And we've talked about this for years, how this is, you know, whether it's trade deadline stuff or whether it's free agency, the NBA blows everybody else out of the water because the crazy stuff can happen and it's not set in stone. You don't necessarily know. And it is, they are huge, not just team changing, but league changing moves take place. And we had several of them yesterday. We can't do them all at once. I don't want to do a big shotgun approach. So let's start with what I believe to be the most interesting and impactful news from last night, and that is Al Horford agreeing to join the Philadelphia 76ers. To me, that was the one that stood out among all the other news. Kemba Walker joining the Celtics. What? Kyrie Irving going to the... What? No. Al Horford going to the 76ers, to me, that stood out as the biggie.
Yeah, that was a kick right in the groin, wasn't it, a little bit? Because when you consider, I was on yesterday with Marshall Hook in the afternoon, and started being reports, Hardy, that there was maybe a three-way deal to be had, you know, a sign-and-trades that involved not only the Nets and the Charlotte Hornets and the Celtics to work out deals via sign-and-trade so that you could be able to bring Al Horford back. And there was reports that there were these certain teams that were being mentioned with Al Horford, that there was a mystery team and that was being reported as it was the immediate Celtics. So for the last couple hours of the show I did with Marshall Hook yesterday, we had this kind of idea and there's momentum building as if Al Horford was maybe going to come back. So we let ourselves think that for a little bit, all right? That Al Horford back on this team with Kemba Walker. Okay, what does this team look like? Now you got Al Horford back, who is probably the best guy you have as far as defending Giannis, from Milwaukee. You need somebody who's going to be able to defend him. Right now, they don't. So you're getting all excited about, okay, the potential of this team, maybe a 2 seed. Who knows? Maybe they could compete with Milwaukee as the number 1 seed. That's kind of where you're letting yourself go. And then an hour into free agency last night, you hear the news that Al Horford's going to the 76ers. Just a kick in the groin. It was tough because it's the 76ers. That's your, you know, obviously your rival and a team that you compete in this Eastern Conference. So that was kind of heartbreaking news if you're a Celtics fan, big time.
Yeah, and ironically, Ted, from the get-go, I thought, and you said it, like there was a chance Al Horford could come back, and then there's the rumors about the 3-team deal.
Yeah.
Even though Al was the one who, through his agent, said, Al intends to sign elsewhere on a four-year deal because the Celtics are only offering three. Right?
Right.
And Kyrie Irving is the one who said, we all know, who famously or now infamously said last summer, I'm signing with Boston again if you'll have me. Mm-hmm. Oh, shucks. And even after what he said back on February 1st, and it's like, you know, let's talk about this July 1st, blah, blah, blah. I just assumed that Kyrie was gone, but I thought, even though through his agent, Al said he's going to go somewhere else, there's a chance. Mm-hmm. There's a chance they can retain his services should things change, and he can, convince himself that this is the best place for him to win, because I think ultimately what he wants is a ring at this point in his mm-hmm. career, and I can't blame him for that. Or if the Celtics could somehow up their offer to a four-year deal, that, you know, there was a chance he would stay in Boston. Well, what he ended up doing, in my eyes, is going to a team where, A, he immediately is going to have a better chance, and he got his 4 years. I can't blame him for the decision. Yeah.
It's hard for me to sit there and think, though, that Hardy, that he's got a better opportunity to win a championship there. I mean, if he was on this team with Kemba Walker, with the young kids, maybe he's stepping it up and playing up to the level that we think, and Gordon Hayward, you know, a lot of ifs. Maybe there's just too many ifs for Al Horford's liking. But, you know, I mean, if Al Horford on this team, I almost would say it'd be at least as good as the 76ers, if not a little bit better. But
based on what? I mean, you look at the team as it is right now, you've replaced Kyrie Irving with Kemba Walker. Mm-hmm. Who's better?
Okay, it's Kyrie Irving.
Okay.
We beat this to death.
This thing has plenty of life in it. Don't worry.
Okay.
We're going to just get your whooping stick out for the next 4 hours.
All right.
Because this is what is going to bug me today.
Okay.
For all the people who say, no, we're going to be fine, and everything is good here with the Celtics, because even though Al Horford's gone, it's the same people who loved Al Horford. The same people have been telling me for years that just because I have questions about his impact on whatever team he's playing on, that I don't know basketball, that I can't see the things he does away from the ball. And it was a lot of work for me to try and become a convert, like our producer, Jim Louth. He became an Al Horford convert. He was able to see it. I could see it at times, but I was not convinced that he was the impactful player commanding the type of salary and the money and all that stuff. But most people were. The Green Teamers were. And they love Al Horford. And now he's gone. And you're going to tell me everything's going to be okay? That's number one. But number two, if he were to stay here, he would have Kemba Walker instead of Kyrie Irving. Yep. Kemba Walker is not as good a player.
No.
He's also got Aaron Bain's gone. Okay?
That's big too.
Okay,
right?
So you know, no help there in the if you're going to play center for the Celtics, yep, which would presumably be his position. Mm-hmm. So that's that. How is it that they are somehow better suited to go further than a five-game second-round playoff exit with a team that just on paper is not as good? Explain it to me.
Here's the thing, because I think Kemba Walker's he's committed here long-term. All right, he doesn't have one foot out the door. He's not undermining his coach. Look, he's a junkyard dog. I think he would raise the level of everyone else's play, because you wouldn't have all the stuff behind the scenes that you had when Kyrie Irving was here. So is he a better player? Hell no. We know that. Kemba Walker's not a better player than Kyrie Irving. However, what he is, I think, is a better overall teammate and guy who's going to raise the level of everyone around him. Everyone's going to get theirs. There's not going to be all the infighting. And I think that in and of itself makes him more valuable than what Kyrie Irving was bringing to the table
at this point. Okay, more valuable in terms of team chemistry. And
it's
I don't know that Kyrie was undermining the coach.
Oh, all the time.
I don't undermine. In what way? In what way did he undermine Brad Stevens?
Oh, he was. You talk about the Kyrie Irving's comments about Kemba Walker, and when they played the Charlotte Hornets, and he said something to the fact that everybody traps Kemba Walker, but we didn't. He says little things in the media that undermines his coach. There's example after example of Kyrie Irving undermining Brad Stevens that he's made in the media.
I'm not trying to tell you that it was a fun locker room with Kyrie Irving and Terry Rozier and Jaylen Brown and, you know, whoever.
Oh, it was toxic. It was toxic, so it's no surprise they didn't get past the second round in the playoffs this year.
I think there have been plenty of instances where guys did not get along and they were able to overcome it. And we're going to get into this today.
Not this team with the young guys. They have young guys that couldn't handle it.
We're going to get into more of this later when we talk about Kevin Durant and his reasons behind leaving Golden State. That is even more head-scratching to me. But if Shaq and Kobe can win together, you're telling me that, you know, it's impossible? Now you're talking about two, you know, planet players at the time, right?
Right.
This is not a Kyrie Irving and Jaylen Brown situation. You don't mention those two in the same breath with Shaq and Kobe. But guys don't always get along, you know? You don't necessarily have to be best friends with the guys you're playing with. In fact, you can have real animosity toward each other. Hell, some of those 80s Celtics teams, you know, these guys were not best friends. I don't think Larry Bird was the most likable guy.
That's true.
And Cedric Maxwell, and you read Jackie McMullen's book about, you know, how, you know, guys, you know, spoke to each other and talked with each other. It's not a necessity. It's nice, but it's a borderline luxury. So I don't discount team chemistry, but you're going to have a lot of trouble convincing me that this team is just automatically better off with their best player gone.
It is.
Okay.
It is. It is because it's because the chemistry is more important, you think, on a team like this with a Brad Stevens type of coach who he's more about that than he is. I mean, we saw he has an issue like coaching guys with egos and guys that are, you know, you know, the egos they have that like Kyrie Irving. So look, I think it's just Kemba Walker is a better fit for this team, for this coach, with the dynamic that you have with the young players. And you have a lot of young players that they drafted. Okay. I think that people are actually thinking they're not to count on this year, man. So you need a leader at your point guard position who has, you know, just the team in mind and wants to be here. That's a huge reason I think it's going to be a better team with Kemba Walker than with Kyrie Irving, regardless of the fact that he's not as good as Kyrie Irving.
All right, I would love to separate these moves, but they're all intertwined. It's a spaghetti bowl of players and personnel and changes within the conference.
There we go.
You know what, Jim? They could hire you as a sound effects guy for that show, because that is a Jim Louth quality sound effect right there.
Zolak and Bertrand.
It's time to celebrate.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, joining us now on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline, Tom Haberstroh, NBC Sports, NBA Insider. You're on with Hardy and Ted Johnson. Tom, thanks for taking the time. We appreciate it.
No problem. Happy to do it.
Well, we've been talking a lot about today, mostly about Al Horford, and we haven't really touched on much else going on in the league, and there was so much happening last night. And I guess first things first, in terms of looking at the Celtics and how things are shaping up here in the East, what are you hearing about Kawhi Leonard? Because he is the one guy out there right now that seems to have the most question marks around him.
Everyone is in a holding pattern. I mean, the Clippers are keeping their powder keg dry. Same with the Lakers. You know, Danny Green is still sitting there deciding what to do in his free agency because it appears contingent on what Kawhi Leonard wants to do. You know, he might join Kawhi Leonard in with the Lakers on some sort of deal or with the Clippers. But he has clearly not made his decision, Danny Green, because I think he believes that we're going to find out soon what happens with Kawhi Leonard, whether he comes back to the Toronto Raptors or decides to head back home to L.A. Clearly, the Nets and the Knicks have decided to move on. And right now, everyone in the NBA is in a holding pattern. You would have heard whispers by now from the Kawhi Leonard's camp if he had made a decision or if he was close to a decision. We just don't know. We're completely in the dark.
Hey, Tom, just your thoughts on what the 76ers were able to do, re-signing Tobias Harris, trading for Josh Richardson, and then signing Al Horford, which is a huge, you know, gut punch to the Celtics fans. Just your thoughts on how that team is currently constructed. How well do you think they did, and what do you think how they fall in the pecking order as far as Eastern Conference teams now?
I think if Kawhi Leonard leaves Toronto, this is the best team in the NBA. I think the Philadelphia 76ers are loaded up front. They have the Twin Towers and Al Horford. Boston fans don't need me to tell you how good he is on both ends of the floor. He's
probably one of the top 20, top 25, 30 players in the NBA. The metrics will say that. Your eyes will say that. The impact on and off the court will say that. But I think the number one thing that Al Horford does for this team, for the 76ers, is provide a relief for Joel Embiid. We saw what happened with Kawhi Leonard last year when he rested for 22 games in the regular season. Pascal Siakam stepped up in a big way and was able to fill in and let the team ride without Kawhi. And I think that's what's going to happen here with the 76ers, is not only is Al Horford going to shoot threes, play on the elbow, rack up a ton of assists, and play really smart defense, but he's also going to be able to play the five on nights that Joel Embiid is going to take off so that he can prepare his body for the postseason. I think that's going to be the new trend in the NBA. Is before you would say, Al Horford, he plays the same position as Joel Embiid. Why would you sign him to a $100 million deal? Well, in fact, now, because of how these bodies work, you might say the opposite. Is because Pascal Siakam does a lot of the same things as Kawhi Leonard and plays the same position as Kawhi Leonard, that makes a lot of sense for Siakam and Kawhi to play on the same team. So I think this is going to be an interesting thing to watch. You see, the Golden State Warriors are now trading for D'Angelo Russell, who plays Steph Curry's position. The tide is changing in the NBA, where I think teams are now creating batteries for their superstars so they can have nights off in the regular season and prepare them for the postseason, just like Kawhi Leonard.
It's unbelievable. I mean, it's not enough to have like two superstars anymore. Now you have to have a suitable backup for at least one of those superstars so they can be even more super come the postseason. You mentioned Golden State. Kevin Durant going to be joining Kyrie Irving in Brooklyn. To me, this is the one story we haven't touched on at all yet, and it's fascinating to me, the reasons behind it. Reasons we're hearing: he wants to play with Kyrie. He wants to be with someone he can hang with. I mean, what else you were hearing about his decision to go to Brooklyn?
Well, I mean, it was. The rumblings were coming out as soon as I saw that Kevin Durant was going to, you know, field meetings with four suitors or engage with, as ESPN said, didn't make sense to me, because why would Kyrie Irving commit to the Brooklyn Nets already at the outset of free agency if he didn't know what Kevin Durant was going to do? And so I just started peeling away the onion, and it just made sense that, man, I don't think Kevin Durant is going to be, you know, feeling out those suitors. I think he already knows. And then, of course, you know, early in the afternoon, it came out that he was going to announce on his Instagram feed. And it, sure enough, he decided to team up with Kyrie Irving. And I think, you know, I speak from experience. It actually hit me in a personal way, because in 2010, my life turned upside down when LeBron James said he was going to take his talent to South Beach. I was, you know, a freelance writer with ESPN, and they hired me to cover that team, move down to South Beach and cover the Heat. And one of the big storylines at that point was that they were friends. They were called the Super Friends at that point, because for the first time like ever, we had seen free agent superstars team up, because primarily they had an existing relationship and they just wanted to be with each other on the basketball court. And I think that's what you're seeing with Kyrie and Kevin Durant 9 years later, and DeAndre Jordan. These three friends just thought, hey, wouldn't it be cool if we went to a cool city like Brooklyn and play basketball together and take our ownership of our careers? Kyrie Irving has never been an unrestricted free agent in his career. And I think they really took this opportunity to not just play basketball together, but just try to be happy doing it. Because I think both sides, Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant, weren't exactly happy in their situations. For whatever reason, they didn't find that basketball nirvana, and they decided to try to create their nirvana in Brooklyn.
When you went to Miami, did Brian Windhorst pull you aside and say, hey, I'm the guy that follows LeBron around, and there isn't enough room in this industry for two of us?
You know, what's funny about that is Brian actually stayed in Miami for 1 year and then left. I stayed there for 6 years. So if anyone was sticking around and just riding the coattails of LeBron James and Dwayne Wade, it was me. I was there for 6 years, and LeBron James left after four, and Brian was long gone by then.
All right, Celtics need a big man. Who's out there? Who's gettable for them?
You know, I thought the perfect fit was Robin Lopez, but it looks like he's joining up with his brother in Milwaukee. It's slim pickings at this point. You're going to be looking at guys like Kevon Looney, who right now is going to be an expendable piece for the, well, not expendable, but too expensive for the Golden State Warriors. The Warriors are capped out at the moment. They can't offer anybody more than $2 or $3 million, and that's just not going to cut it for Kevon Looney. I think you're going to see him potentially be a target for the Boston Celtics, a really smart defender, young guy, still just in his early 20s. I think that would be a smart look for them. But ultimately, it is going to be, I don't think DeMarcus Cousins is coming. I'm not so sure he's a fit there anyway. But when you're looking at a team that has Kemba Walker, you want a really good screen setter. And right now, the market is very, very dry on centers, especially when you see a guy like Dwayne Dedman. A lot of people don't even know who that is, getting $40 million on the free agency market to sign with Sacramento. That's a sign that what the Celtics are going to be getting here at the center position is pretty dry. You're going to be looking at guys, you know, at the bargain bin. And, you know, this is what you deal with when you get Kemba Walker and you lose Al Horford. Not going to be an easy pivot. But got another guy, another name to watch is Kostas Koufos from the Sacramento Kings, a 30-year-old big man, good defender. But again, we're not seeing world beaters for the Celtics at this point. They got Kemba. They're going to be happy with that. But they need to figure out the front court situation.
Hey, Tom, it's a place that's not basketball nirvana. That would be the New York Knicks. And there's everybody's talking about the New York Knicks creating enough cap space. You have two max deals you can offer to guys. And that they reported that that they did not want to give Kevin Durant a max deal. So they had to settle on Julius Randle, Bobby Portis, Reggie Bullock, and Taj Gibson. Just your overall thoughts about the New York Knicks, because a lot of people were speculating that was a spot that Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving were going to end up, and then they end up with a bunch of guys.
You know what? It's a real shame. The league is so much better when the Knicks are good. You know, I think the league is healthier when the Knicks are good. You know, that more people care about basketball when the Knicks are good. They're a good villain in the NBA. I mean, when Carmelo Anthony was with Amari Stoudemire, Tyson Chandler, J.R. Smith, and Steve Novak, those are really fun. And I think the NBA is worse off when a team is mismanaged like this. If you didn't think you were going to get Kevin Durant, don't you make some trades to try to get a star in place? It seems like, you know, X is making up their own narrative after a breakup when they say, yeah, we weren't interested in giving him the max. When it's clear right now that Brooklyn Nets, they're not getting Kevin Durant at the max. Apparently, they're going to be taking less money so that DeAndre Jordan can get paid, a la Mike Miller and Udonis Haslem going to the Miami Heat, and LeBron James, Dwayne Wade, and Chris Bosh taking a little bit less so that they could come and join what they're doing. So I think that's the Knicks are just seeing them sign about $150 million to some power forwards. It just doesn't make sense. And I really wish that for a lot, I grew up outside of New York City. A lot of my friends are Knicks fans, and this is rock bottom for them.
All right, Tom Haberstroh, he is NBC Sports NBA Insider, Habershow Podcast. Follow him on Twitter at Tom Haberstroh. Tom, we appreciate the time. Thank you.
Zolak and Bertrand continues on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Fresh out the frying pan into the fire. I be the music man's number one supplier. Fly it in a piece of paper bearing my name. Got the hottest chick in the game wearing my chain. That's right.
In my heart, I knew I always wanted to play at home. And home is where my heart is, and it's always been there simply because of such a great love that I have for my family and the way I grew up. I wouldn't change anything about this journey at all. It's brought me back here, and that's home. And home is where my family is. Home is where I want my legacy to continue. And I'm happy to be in Brooklyn.
Pearl. That's Kyrie Irving posting on his Instagram just earlier this hour a video talking about being home in Brooklyn. He grew up watching the Nets. He wouldn't change anything about his journey.
No. Mm-mm.
Wouldn't change a thing.
Home is where the heart is. Is where my family is.
I mean, isn't it okay? Isn't it instructive sometimes? Isn't it even healthy to look back and say, oh, I would do things differently?
Mm-hmm. There
are things that I would do. Now, obviously, there's about being grateful for where you are now, mm-hmm. and, you know, what it took you through to get there, but I don't know, maybe going back, if I could do things differently, I might change the way I behaved in Boston here or there. May have embraced the role of leader in a different way. Don't know if it would have changed anything. But how can you say that? How can you finish off your time in Boston the way you did and say, I wouldn't change anything?
Because that's who he is. He thinks he's better than everybody. He thinks he's better than everybody. It's unbelievable. I can't believe you're still on Team Kyrie, Hardy. I just can't believe it. After all the stuff that's come out.
That I'm on Team Kyrie?
Yes. Along with Zoe and Beetle. You three, driving the bus.
You hear
that. Look, I'm not talking about I don't want to go hang out with the guy. I just think he would. I foolishly believe that he was the Celtics' best player for the last couple of years, and the team would be better off with him than without him.
He was the best player. That doesn't make the team a better team because he's the best player.
In this case, it would. There are things that need to be figured out and sorted in terms of the chemistry and the way these guys are going to get along and play with each other. But to just dismiss the success that they had, the regular season success, and quite frankly, very short memories, the way everybody was feeling 5 games into the postseason. They had this thing figured out. They were going to click.
Until they faced adversity, got punched in the mouth, and they put their tail between their legs. And
Kyrie did.
Got punched in the mouth, and he didn't have LeBron to rely on. Yeah. That's why he had to go to a team that has Durant on it.
You hear this audio. I'm sorry, Hardy. You hear this audio, Jim? And I'm like, he had no intentions of signing back here. None.
Home is where my heart is.
Yeah.
And it's always been there.
It's not all Kyrie.
When did they make that? I mean, free agency was yesterday, right?
Oh, this morning probably, right?
Oh, no. Does that thing sound like it required a lot of production? You know what? I'll go produce you something during the next commercial break that'll be of equal or better quality. Believe me, that does not.
That I believe.
That doesn't take a lot of time.
With the video
T-Bone could do one before we finish this segment. That would sound
better.
You have
to go out and get to go out and get the shots, the video.
I don't know. I didn't watch it.
He's been preparing for this for a long time.
This is a long time coming. Listen.
A long time coming, man.
Am I Team Kyrie? To the extent of, I think the team was better off with him and they would be better off with him. And he's not the only reason why this team failed to perform in the postseason. Al Horford, this great guy that is, you know, the most, you know, important part of this team. He's the, it makes it all go, and he's the facilitator and he's the defender. He left too. He wants out. And oh, by the way, as the team was falling apart and they were lacking leadership, where was Al? I thought that's why he was so great. You tell me it's all Kyrie. It's all Kyrie's fault. Get him out of here. He was the reason why this thing didn't work.
Oh, he was the.
Then why did Al leave too?
He was the biggest reason because they weren't going to pay him what he wanted.
Oh, yeah, fourth year.
That was the biggest.
He's with a team that can win now. That's what he's thinking. He's getting more money, but he's also with a team that has a better shot at winning the East right now than the Celtics do. As you know, one of our guests said earlier, I think it was Haverstraw, said they are right now, even with Kawhi staying in Toronto, Philadelphia appears to be the front runner for the East right now. Now, we all know what that means because we all know who the front runner in the East was at the start of last season. It was a foregone conclusion that the Celtics were going to the NBA Finals. Well, you know, whether or not they had a chance against Golden State was a conversation. But the Celtics were going to win the East. Are you kidding? Kyrie's healthy. Gordon Hayward back from injury. This team that took LeBron James, you know, to the game 7, of course, it's going to be the Celtics. So does that mean the same thing with Philadelphia? I don't know. But it's not all Kyrie.
Yeah.
Don't kid yourself that Kyrie was the one and only issue that this team had.
Hey, you just set the tone. Best player.
Do you want the guy on your team? Bottom line?
No.
Do you want that guy on your team?
No.
Even if he wasn't the only reason, do you want that guy a part of your group?
Do you want to win?
I don't want that guy a part of my group.
Okay. But you didn't win with him. You didn't win with him.
Do you have a better chance of winning with Kyrie Irving than without him?
What's your ceiling?
Okay, all right. So
you gotta give more context.
No change. I'll accept as an answer, but don't tell me that.
I'd rather grow with the young guys and then just be stagnant with Kyrie.
You know, okay, then you agree with me. 3 years.
I'll say it. I think you're better. You're a better team without Kyrie. You're a better team with Kemba Walker. If Al Horford were still here. And, you know, with the young guys getting 1 year better, Gordon Hayward playing like the old Gordon Hayward, it's a better team because the attitude, the approach, the professionalism, the, you know, just the attitude is raises everyone's game. I'm just telling you, it would, regardless of talent.
For the most part, watching Kyrie Irving, I didn't have a problem with him. When he opened his mouth about the flat earth or what does government mean to you, yeah, it makes your eyes roll so far into the back of your head. You wonder if they'll ever come back. But if it comes down to whether or not you like guys, then you really have to change the way you root for teams. Because there's a ton of guys that are held up as heroes in this town that I think if pressed to it, the truth serum, or if you had a chance to sit down, spend any time, you wouldn't find them all that likable, right? It's not about liking someone personally all the time. It helps if you can like a guy and cheer for the team that he's on. But is it my most important factor? No. I like him. I care.
But Kyrie's gone so far to the other side that you can't even put up with it. It's hard to put up with what he's done. All the stuff that's come out with him. He just won't keep his mouth shut. If he kept his mouth shut and he was a bad guy, it wouldn't matter as much.
The most hated former Boston athlete?
We're going to get to that, yes. Could it be Kyrie Irving?
Can't you say there could be some bad guys and good teammates? But Kyrie's probably a bad guy, bad teammate?
You think he's a bad guy? You think Kyrie Irving is a bad guy?
Yeah. All right, maybe bad guys far, but tough to deal with. Tough to work with.
There are bad guys. There are guys out there who are bad guys who might be good teammates. You know?
Yeah. No, you're right. Bad's too far, but tough to work with.
I think he's toxic.
You don't want to be around him.
And then you got guys like Ted Johnson, who was a good guy and a good teammate, and still has callers phoning this radio show older than him, calling him Mr. Johnson, and swinging from his scrotum to the extent where Ted had to go in and change out of his shorts. He had to put long pants on.
That's true.
Because things were starting to show through.
That's distinguished true. Professional.
Thank you.
That's right. That was last week, wasn't it?
I think it was two weeks ago.
The distinguished professional.
That's what it was.
Not everybody can be Ted Johnson, okay? That's what it boils down to. Man, we're still loading on calls. All right. We'll get to them. We'll get to all of them as we continue here. Hardy and Ted in for Zone Beetle.
This has been Zolak and Bertrand in a nutshell. The daily condensed, melted down, jam-packed version of the show. Each day you can listen to Zolak and Bertrand in a nutshell on the podcast page of 98.5thesportshub.com and on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. While you're there, check out all the other original podcasts available from Boston's Home for Sports. Our podcasts are also available at bpodstudios.com and in Apple Podcasts and Google Podcasts.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.